Okay, we are recording.
Okay. It's now about 6:04. You know, this is Wednesday, you know, February 16th. And I call this meeting of the National Airport Authority Board.
Chairman Woods.
You read my mind. Yeah. Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes, I am.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
And Director Duquette.
Here.
All present.
Okay. So, public business as it pertains to tonight's agenda. In the crowd's a while. Okay. So, next up, officer elections, which we tabled from last month, but now that we have the directors here, we can proceed with that.
I quit.
I'll do what I usually do every year. How about that? We can discuss that. I'll put forth a motion to keep the band together as it is, with all positions held as they are, and I'll offer just one backup for Secretary Holland here in her remote status as needed.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Okay.
Apparently you didn't hear me.
La 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 la.
Wasn't an emotion there, sorry.
Okay, so there's no discussion. If we can vote on all in favor of keeping the current slate of officers in, on board, and Joe will backfill the secretary as secretary. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay. So we have our, officer appointments for this year. The minutes, approval of the NAA public minutes of January 26, 2022. Also forward a motion to, approve the January minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor of approving the NAA public minutes of January 26, 2022, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, and there were no opposed. Treasurer's report, approval of the January 2022 financial statements subject to audit. Take it away, Dave.
Okay, the just went through the numbers and they all looked pretty consistent. The biggest thing that stuck out was we had three snowstorms in January, which drove the revenue. So basically all the storms we've had this year have been in January. Everything else seems to be pretty consistent. If you back out the grant money from last year, the CARES or whatever the source was from last year, our year-to-date numbers are pretty much right on track with what it should be total, and also right on a little bit higher than they were in the same period last year. 7 months of 2021. So the balance sheet's still good. Nothing's impairing it. So, anybody have any questions on it that I haven't seen?
Just a quick question. Is there any typically the standards and practice when you have lots of underruns, which is good, better than overruns, but you typically want to do anything with your budgets to tune them up, or that's great?
Well, that's something that we take a look at, like about now, because we're going to be doing the budget for next year. We're going to work on that in a couple of months. So, as far as individual line items, we don't necessarily deal too much with line item budget. There are a lot of pluses and minuses going on. So as long as in the aggregate we're not overspending, we're not going into a deficit situation, I think that's probably the end game. And we talked a little bit about some of the specific over-unders last month. Again, there's nothing, a lot of it's timing. Some of it is going to come in either a little bit over, a little bit under. I know that Susan's adjusting the just now adjusting the leases for their CPIW increase, which nobody's going to be happy with. Except me as the treasurer. And then you see the man.
Yeah.
It's actually me. But so that's basically going to be an overage of the budget because we didn't budget. You know, we took a shot at it. Susan takes a kind of an estimate of what the CPIW is going to be when she does the budget, but it was significantly higher than it was in the budget. So it'll be whatever the 6 month impact of that is. Will be a positive, you know, positive budget, but it'll be a variance. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, just okay. I didn't think it was a problem. I just was curious.
Yep.
Thank you.
Wes?
I guess I'll ask you to take a guess at the CPIW increase.
It's going to be probably
the news.
Possibly 10%.
10%.
10%.
Yeah.
10%.
10%. How long are you at 82?
I don't
know, when did your life expect?
I think there
was. There was very little when we had it later.
Yeah, there was a president named Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Were born and raised back in the late 70s, early 80s, like in the upper teens, 20s?
I don't think it was that high.
Oh, well,
like house mortgages.
Interest rates are 18.
Yeah, 18.
When was the one-term president?
Yeah,
when I got together with a friend to buy a house in 1991, we were thrilled to get 9.25.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, I bought my second house on my credit card. It was cheaper. So, I believe it was, don't forget, this is 2 years now. This is a 2 year adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, so that 10% is not for 1 year.
Approximately
$2,800
additional dollars a month is what it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
income study at work. Okay.
No, that's 6 months.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but a month for 6 months.
Okay, I'll put forward a motion to approve the January 2022 financial statement subject to audit.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor of approving the January 2022 financial statement subject to audit, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. Brings us to communications. On January 12th, we received a note from Carol Nawola, NHDOT hangar use corrective action plan. She's turned her attention toward that issue again. Christine, can you highlight the
I I'm preparing a response.
Okay.
And you know, as far as the hangar inspections, there are a list of hangars that she wants to inspect that were initially deemed non-aeronautical, but during the process they were turned back into aeronautical use, and so she wants to inspect those hangars.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime. I don't have any issue with that. That's going to be a no-brainer.
Okay. Before she inspects the hangars, she brings everything she owes us with her. This is getting stupid. So that's my position on this. Unless. She brings everything she owes us as far as administrative sign-offs and reports. That inspection is not going to happen.
So yeah, that's a good point. You know, I've been wondering whether it's time to get the executive council involved, but that's, I like your, that's a good position. That makes, that's reasonable, you know?
This is every, you know, it's all one way. She's supposed to be helping us. If she doesn't get it done, I'll find somebody that does.
I hope I have another confrontational question. I was wondering if Chris could tell me if Hangar 109 will not happen.
Is 21
so much.
No.
There was nothing in there that was being done or not, so.
Okay, thank you.
And then there'll be another, an additional change that shortly Archie Franguda sold his hangar, and supposedly on April 1st, he will be out, the new tenant will be in. He's an aircraft builder, he's building an RV-10, and he's also trying to purchase another airplane for the time being, so he has something to fly. So that hangar will revert to aeronautical use.
Okay.
This year.
Good.
Good to hear.
I mean, we've got, I probably said this before, but we have limited resources here. Chris, you have an airport to run, and you don't, you can't be spending your time responding to letters with no substantial positive impact to the airport. You got other things to do that is much more productive.
I agree.
So we got to end this.
Okay, the other communication we had on February 9th, Weston and Sampson, SSI work scope. This was the, Chris, I think you solicited with these folks to, come up with a plan to respond to the, supplemental inspection bid that we had.
So the EPA, as we've previously discussed, is insisting that we conduct a supplemental site investigation with a firm that's qualified and has experience. And so Gale Associates, Nick Ippolito, who's present, helped us find this company, Sampson, Weston Sampson. And they've given us their estimate to move forward with this, and it's all in the package. And I believe the initial was $9,900 for their part of it. And then if it turns into test borings, et cetera, Nick was kind enough to review it all for us and thinks their estimate was a little bit high. We don't necessarily have to have that part done by them. We can contract out the GZA or somebody that we do business with normally during our projects and probably have a more reasonable rate. Do you want to talk about?
Sure. So, this obviously made me curious about, the whole PFAS issue. And so I just started doing a little bit of research this past weekend into the whole thing. And, I discovered a couple of interesting things. The EPA is still kind of formulating how they want to. You can share that. Absolutely. So EPA, has been, struggling to try to come up with, what they feel are reasonable limits for PFAS presence in drinking water. And they came up with, with a number, and this isn't regulatory, this is advisory, of 70 parts per trillion. That number was criticized by, at least a couple of states as being, a little bit too lax. So New Hampshire has set, numbers that are, say, between about 12 and 18 parts per trillion. And they've actually codified that in an RSA. But, keep in mind that that is for drinking water. The places on the airport where PFAS was discovered was in standing water, for which there is no, official guidance of any sort as to what the safe limit. My initial estimation right now is that NHDES is attempting to compel us to, to go on a fishing expedition at, at our expense, based on limits for drinking water, not for groundwater or standing water, or water that, exists in test wells. So, I'm asking the question, and I sent this to, the National Corporate Attorney Bolton as well as Chris. Does this sound reasonable to you? Also, in my search, I looked around, but, I'm not a lawyer, so maybe I'm not looking in the right place, but I couldn't identify the specific RSA that would compel us to, to pay for these studies to satisfy NHDES. So I'm looking for a little guidance from Attorney Bolton on that. And of course, we can also ask that question of NHDES.
So my plan, I put a call into Steve as well, and I haven't heard back from him yet. my plan is I'm going to reach out to DES and tell them that we are working with Weston Sampson and we're going to need a little more time.
Yeah.
Just to give us time to, you know, seek the counsel on this from the city attorney's office.
You know, I can sympathize with NHDES's desire to try to identify the sources of PFAS contamination. You know, I just have some doubts right now about, you know, that we should pay for it simply because it was discovered on our property. You know, if there is an airport source for it, then, you know, if that's identified as an airport business, then, you know, obviously we'll start talking to, you know, the proprietors of that business. You know, but until then, I have some questions about who should be paying for this.
I thought I missed something in that 800-page report or whatever it was, but what was the genesis of this? Where there may be something there. Where did that?
Well, so NHDES, along with US EPA, have specifically decided to target airports to investigate sources of PFAS contamination.
So, yeah, it's kind of reading through the chronology, you know, they basically say firefighting foam or AAAF or whatever, you know, those things like that. So it's kind of, it doesn't seem to be an obvious source, so it's kind of like, you know, if there's no source there, but you're finding something there, sort of logically says that you're looking in the right spot for the source.
They're also leaning on the fact that we had a single deployment of firefighting foam.
Yeah.
And although it was documented that it was never escaped the hangar, it was all cleaned up professionally, they think, well, this could have come from there. Well, it didn't. It never got out of there. And what they are not, I think what they're not grasping is the fire department even told them they've never tested it here. They can't afford to test it. And the only time it was deployed was that one time. All these other airports, and I say other airports, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. They're already tangled up with DES and EPA. They've used it several times at Manchester and Pease, and they train with it. They've tested it. They have documented well contamination, drinking water contamination in Pease. And so I think that the DES and EPA thinks, well, all airports have this problem. And that's why they're chasing down all the airports in New Hampshire.
We know.
But we don't have that problem.
DOT Bureau of NOx has any sort of like intertwining conversations like, hey, you know, these are our airports, or the two paths parallel are not really set.
So Pease and Manchester are 139 airports,
right.
And near as I can tell, BOA kind of leaves their hands off those
right.
airports. So I don't know what interactions they might have had with NHDES in regards to that. We have not, informed BOA about this, this preliminary, study that was done that found PFAS on our airport.
Did they do similar studies on Keene, Concord, whatever?
I don't know if that. I think we're the third in the state, and that's all that we know right now.
So I spoke to a friend of mine this past weekend who used to work for Saint-Gobain, and of course, probably people know that they've been in the news and. For PFAS contamination in Merrimack, a significant amount of it. The opinion of my friend is that NHDES in particular, was caught a little flat-footed, when the news broke of this, and they made up, what he contends are pretty arbitrary limits as to what levels of contamination are acceptable. And that's where we get back into the, small parts per trillion. However they came up with those numbers, as I mentioned, they are codified, in New Hampshire law at this point, and there is a process for changing them. There's a reporting process. I guess NHDES has to report back to various committees, each year, as to, what they think those limits should be or if they should stay the same.
Is there anything, Nick, is there anything that's compelling us to move on anything, or is this sort of more of a, everybody's kind of lining up saying, hey, we did this, and hey, we saw something, and hey, go check it out? Are we kind of just exploring at this point? Is there anything telling us that we know where that's still to be determined in terms of talking with Steve? If we just went set, is there anything there other than more of the political? telling us within a timeline, and, you know, is there anything real to the
timeline wise? I'm not sure. I was not privy to the communications from the DEF.
Yeah, we have a, they gave us a timeline as to where we, it was all in the package, as to when we have to submit our plan to them. And that's what I just discussed a couple minutes ago. I'm going to tell them we need an extension to further investigate how we're going to accomplish this.
If we're going to.
Well, right. So DES has told us at least a few times now that it's the law that we're required to you know, implement this supplemental study at our expense. And, you know, again, I could, you know, when I searched for it, I could not find an RSA that enumerated that. Okay. Again, that's something we could ask our friends at DES if they could please provide that.
But I think we'll seek, again, the advice from Steve Bolton's office and maybe have him pose this question to DES,
mm-hmm.
you know, as an attorney.
Well, my feeling is, you know, that Ferry did a lot of great work on this. There's a lot of people, you know, Joe, you deal with this, Nick, of course, you do, and Brian with your commercial mm-hmm. stuff. Everybody's been in this, but I don't think, you know, we asking DES to me is like asking the IRS if I should deduct this. But actually, it's worse because at least the IRS has to tell you the code that they're hanging their hat on. I think that we need to go outside this room to get the answer. The answer. There is an answer to this. Not, well, gee, what if we do this or what if we do that or, you know, because DES, let's say DES sends us what they feel the authority is, and we're going to look at it, and we as people in this room are going to go, oh, that doesn't sound, make sense, that's not right, or it is. And so I guess my point is that I think we need to get either Bill Shaheen or somebody in engineering, you know, environmental specific legal advice to, you know, I know Steve knows a lot, but I just think this is too important to just roll over and just start doing stuff, digging holes and spending $10,000 on an engineer and all that stuff. It seems to be experimental territory, and I'm not really interested in being a lab rat for the DES.
So we had, you know, we had a con call with DES and EPA a while ago in which I took part. And, you know, what NHDES basically told us is that, you know, we are by law responsible for, you know, implementing some sort of follow-up study to try to figure out the sources of mm-hmm. PFAS contamination. If none can be identified, they may require us to, you know, have a company, you know, like what we contracted with here, you know, to come in and do test bores periodically or sample groundwater periodically and report back to NHDES on what the contamination levels are. And there, you know, there is potentially no end to that.
Right. And you know, this is, again, DES telling us it's our responsibility to do this. Well, yeah, they'd love us to do it, so they don't have to pay for it.
Okay.
But what's the authority that DES has that tells us to do this?
Right. I would like to understand more about that myself.
So that's what I'm saying, and that's what we have to find out before we go throwing more stuff at the wall.
So here's a little kicker for you. It was revealed to us during that con call that you know, DES and EPA, when they contracted to have this, you know, study done last year, that they were able to use grant money to do it.
Good.
But no grant
so
money.
So there's no skin in there. They don't have any skin in the game.
Right. So, but there's no grant money available to us to
right.
have any
yeah.
follow-up stuff done.
See, those are all the things that just this thing doesn't smell right. It really doesn't pass the smell test. No EPA, you know, pun intended. But, you know, we gotta get some firm answers before we start throwing more information at the DES.
Yeah, I agree.
And those answers have to come from authority.
To me, you know, way to point at, you know, this is what they do for a living, or is that kind of like asking a painter if you need a new coat of paint? kind of that background, you know, like, well, this, yep, we do this all the time, and as far as, say, such and such, and if you're resisting cross-reference with that, and kind of help, you know, in parallel with what we're doing with Steve, just try to drive us to some sort of source material to understand, because right now we have somebody saying there's a thing, and then somebody saying you have to go spend some money to go find out what the thing is or isn't, and no, it's just people saying it, right? We're just being told, right, you know.
I'm going to poke around with my contacts, too.
But it needs to be airport specific, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
no, I understand. No, I'm thinking about somebody to be on our side that's going to help evaluate whatever RSA information DS sends to us, and somebody who's schooled in that type of evaluation.
You know, we're just dealing with a lot of these regulatory things that the authorities are throwing at us, whether it's New Hampshire DOT or whether it's the EPA or DES. You know, we got an airport to run here, and you know, if we have to do stuff, fine. But tell us then, you know, tell us what it is, why we have to do it, what the authority is, and for it. You know, we can't, this is not in our budget. This is not what we need to be doing.
Yeah, and also really the connection of, you know, the PFAS thing has always been about groundwater, drinking water. I feel like we're kind of like, you know, at a different, you know.
Yeah.
It's not doing the thing everybody's been afraid of it doing and all the problems they've been having historically with other places. It's just we're like, oop, it's a thing.
Well, not to mention the whole start of this show was they had tested water at Penachuck Brook, which is northwest of here, and they said, well, you know, that's downstream of the airport. Well, it's not downstream of our airport. And so these minute parts per trillion that they found on our airport don't go that way. And that was their whole primary concern. And
yeah, because there's an aquifer at the end of 3-2, so out that way.
You would have thought they'd drop it at that point, because this is what they came in saying, hey, we're afraid that you're polluting the town water supply, and we're not.
And that's the part I'm worried about. It's we're playing whack-a-mole here, and it's costing resources and time, and they say, well, okay, we're good there, but now what about this over here? Well, you know, just no. Just no. Let's find out what exactly we're required to do. And if we are truly required to do it, then we'll do it. Otherwise, nope.
Is it possible to know the concentration of the PFAS that they found in that tributary? Because if that's...
It's a different composition to boot.
Oh, it's a different composition.
Yep.
So their report, you know, had, you know, identified a whole bunch of places on the airport, and a couple places off the airport, I believe, too, or just off the edge of the airport. You know, and they identified exactly which PFAS contaminant was found and in what concentration. You know, in that respect was actually pretty detailed.
It's all that report.
Yeah, they did acknowledge that. Well,
yep.
There's a bunch of stuff around us too. It's not like we're out in the middle of nowhere and there's nowhere else it could come from.
But you know, a couple of things, of course. You know, it's like PFAS contamination typically results in, you know, spillage from various kinds of industrial processes.
Yeah.
You know, like Teflon, for instance, or, you know, of course, you know, Saint Gobain, which was allegedly dumping the stuff into, you know, in the water. But we don't have any of that stuff on the airport.
Ryan's got an illicit nonstick pan cookware operation.
I'm downstream of the airport, so.
And we argued this point with them. We didn't argue. We posed this point to them that we don't have that here.
Right.
It just doesn't exist here. Well, they said, well, it may be undocumented from the past. And Steve stood up and said, I've been here for 40 years. It hasn't. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of history here, and they know what's gone on here for a long time. And
I mean, Jim Tamponzi could probably shed some light on that.
You know, one of the things
is farm.
There's all kinds of sources. I know I discussed this before. Dental floss, candy wrappers, food wrappers, pizza boxes, it all contains PFAS. Right down to, I read a study that the EPA did a study on ultra-high molecular weight, UHMW cross-linked polyethylene containers contain PFAS. And this is what they collect all the samples in. So,
your cup is empty.
It's a bit of a witch hunt. So, do you agree then that I start with requesting an extension so we can figure out, how we're going to handle this?
Mm-hmm. To put together a plan.
Yeah, and then we'll...
The plan may be when...
We already reached out to Steve. I can reach out to Bill Shaheen.
Well, somebody in his firm or somebody in the environmental area... Brian, you deal with environmental law.
Yeah, I'm going to call
Nick,
at least one person, if not a couple.
You guys are doing an amazing job. Chris, you spent all this time and resources for us to try and figure all this out when the freaking DES doesn't have anything figured out yet. So let's get some people that do this every day.
So another question. Oh, go ahead, Nick, please.
Carol, you said that when you looked into it, can you confirm that the amount in parts per trillion that the NHTSA adopted was 12? Did you say that?
Around 12 to 18, and I did provide a link to the RSA where that stuff is codified.
Okay. So I'm reading right now a study conducting 5,700 soil samples collected around the world from 1,400 sampling locations resulted in a mean background PFAS level of 14 parts per trillion.
Okay.
So it does seem arbitrary.
Yeah. So again, the state is not, neither the state nor the EPA have adopted any official levels for what's acceptable in groundwater or soils. It just doesn't exist. And that's actually acknowledged in the report that we got, too. That was explicitly pointed out in the report. The other thing I might mention is, I asked a question about, fast forward a little bit, and I asked DES if they would then try to compel us to, mitigate the stuff. And the answer I got was no, because no one really knows how to do that yet. So
this is a problem looking, or this is a solution looking for a problem. That's what it seems like to me. All right.
Just reading their proposal, just putting my morning work hat on. It has to have like a not to exceed on that thing. The P's and C's are a little bit like, invoices due upon receipt. It's a boilerplate, but it's,
But I think before we even entertain that, we got to find out do we need to do it.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of value in pouring $9,000 down a hole.
Yeah, that doesn't even need to be in there.
Exactly.
Okay, is that horse beat to death for now?
I'm
fine. I just want to make sure Jeff has that all. We've got it all.
Thankfully, Susan is the person who keeps us all straight in the end.
Okay, good.
And this is why I joined the board. I don't know about you.
Okay, yeah, Susan's going enough already.
Stop talking.
Copy paste PFAS 100 times.
See you later, audio.
Had a PFAS discussion.
Nope.
So I'm going to move on to the tower.
Sure.
So for January 2022. I see 4,310 operations versus the previous month. That's down, what is that number? 697, or about 14%. And year to year, that's down 29%. So, because people are doing a bit less flying.
Different weather, right? It was really cold.
Well, we had the three snow events in January. It's been cold, a fair bit.
Was cold.
How much of that, if any, would you attribute to SNU?
They're still flying. They still have 5 students in the program.
That's good for 10 touch and goes.
Yeah. I guess it could be a significant contributor to the decline.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, we've had weather. We had some really cold, rainy, icy weather that kind of put the brakes on. Trying to, you know, we looked at the fuel sales the other day, and it's like, well, this is odd. One of the fuel sale numbers, but it had to do with, you know, it could be corporate jets, transient corporate jets coming in and tanking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is it such an imbalance? Well, a couple of jets come in, you take thousands of pounds of fuel. Well, that's like, you know, 50
yeah.
single engine piston planes taking the fuel.
Thank you very much.
Help me understand this. My understanding is that the fuel flowage is done when they purchase the fuel.
Correct.
Not when they put it in the airplane.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they have to tank up, they're holding tank more.
Right. But maybe they were doing some market timing here, you know, filling up the tanks before the fueling went up even more money. So that could be.
So it's steadily been going every month.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm hoping it is the fact that jets are using it. But
it's definitely, you know, their bill of lading is concerned, and they've been doing between 30 and 50,000 gallons of jet fuel a month.
Okay.
Is that fee per gallon or a percentage of the?
Per gallon.
It's per gallon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the fact that fuels cost so much more doesn't impact how much money goes.
We just get their bill of lading on their amount that they fill their tanks with, and that's what we.
What is it, 7 cents?
No.
11 and 13. 11, but it's
right.
going up to 13 and 15
right.
because they're also getting the CPI adjusted.
Yeah.
Well. So those will be going up to about, I think it's 0.133 and 0.155. Jet fuel being the
0.155. Yeah. Jet fuel's more, really?
Less refined, but I guess maybe.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I thought jet fuel was cheaper.
Pretty sure.
Jet fuel is cheaper, but our fee is
okay.
higher, correct?
What's that?
Our Jet A flowage fee was higher.
Yes. If I'm visualizing
okay.
my spreadsheet correctly, then
okay, so we'll move on to manager's report.
Okay, well, we've already discussed almost everything on there. upcoming events, Saturday, June 18th. We have the New Hampshire Aviation Museum Fly-In and Barbecue. They're going to officially announce this, I believe, in the coming week. So that's been a good event in the past. Last year they had a lot of aircraft fly-in. Sold all their tickets to it, so we look forward to that. Hope you get some good weather.
I look forward to June.
Other items of interest, we just talked about our meeting with DES, EPA, Western Solutions, so I won't beat that to death anymore. On the 28th of January, I met with a local developer, Robert Parsons, and Dana Georges to discuss corporate hangar development. This is in addition to the other folks that we've already spoken with, and they're putting together a letter of intent.
Not a letter of commitment.
Not a letter of commitment. So, for what it's worth,
this is for the grass area.
Yes. And Mr. Parsons is a local developer. He owns Sky Meadow Golf Club. He owns the property, the old chemical plant property down behind Lovering.
Yep.
And they're going to be developing that. He owns a lot of stuff downtown. I'm sure everybody's familiar with him. He's a big player in development.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where that goes. He was interested in developing a hangar to house his own aircraft. And we chatted about, you know, the need to house Gulfstream 650s, Global 7s, et cetera. And he said, well, if we're building, we might as well build to accommodate all that. So he's looking at possibly developing a very large hangar. And again, on the 28th, we had a virtual meeting with Weston Sampson, so I won't talk about that again. Recently, IE attended a virtual meeting with representatives City and Ashland Planning Department, discuss our new electronic submission system for the capital improvement plan to the Capital Improvement Committee. And just yesterday, Nick and I sat down and went over our CIP because it's a little, I guess we'll call it incomplete because of all the holdups with the Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics, you know, in regards to the Taxiway Alpha project and relocation versus rehabilitation. And so we had to move some things around there and try to get that up to speed so I can submit this to the City of Nashua for matching funds for upcoming projects.
And one of those things is that this is a simple sign-off on a change order from October?
No, that really has nothing to do with it, actually. It's
no, but I mean, that's one of the things that... Okay, so there's more than that. That's right, okay.
It's just putting these projects into the CIP via the DOT, and we're going back and forth with DOT and FAA and trying to justify this relocation of Taxiway Alpha. And we sent a letter out this morning responding to Carol's recent list of questions, requests for information. And so we'll wait to hear back. I'm also going to request another meeting with FAA and DOT, Bureau of Aeronautics, to go over this again, because we thought we had it ironed out in the first meeting, and then we were told that we needed to submit letters of intent, and that turned into you now need to submit letters of commitment. That was never discussed. So we pointed that out, you know, that the initial ask was for letters of intent. And there was a series of other questions. Some of them were definitely valid, and we responded to them accordingly.
But it seems to me is that in order to develop that any property here, that of this kind of magnitude, you know, it's a cart and a horse thing. You know, it's nice to have a, if the FAA needs some sort of need, a statement of, some sort of showing of need. But you can't have a developer come in here to say, yeah, well, we'll take all that property and we're going to develop it unless the taxiway is moved. So what do you, it's this, again, it's this cart and horse thing. And we got to, get that, what exactly do we need to do to get the FAA to approve the movement of the taxiway? Exactly.
And that's what we're working on.
Okay.
Their initial statement was you need a triggering event. Triggering event is an interest, and we had no interest at that time when we first had this meeting over a year ago, I believe. And then all of a sudden we had, three people come to us almost simultaneously.
Yeah.
One of those entities is actually contracted with Gale for design work for hangar construction. And we felt they were serious enough that we had the meeting with the FAA. So look, we have the triggering event now, and everything was discussed in that meeting. We thought we had addressed, and the justification package that we submitted to FAA and DOT, and they wanted more information, so we responded to that. Nick, Matt, Karen, myself, we met yesterday and ironed out all the details and sent them what they asked for. We'll see what happens next.
Everybody I've talked to that's in the BizJet arena, whether it's manufacturers or managers or flight departments, business aviation has never been stronger. It is just blowing up out there. And so this is the time.
Greg Lee's on Infinity Jets, Infinity Aviation, I'm sorry. He stated last month that he's turning people away and he needs to develop something to get these corporate aircraft in here.
You know, our job is to fill the hangars. Well, not our job, but the people that own them. And the problem is we have, five people with G650s or Globals and, or even Citations, and we have to say, sorry, the covers are full. So
to maximize, could we put a small hangar up there the way it is? Well, our taxi lanes, taxiways exceed the FAA's limits right now,
mm-hmm.
and actually encroach on that area, so we have to move that taxiway to do any development over there in all reality,
mm-hmm.
without putting a real small hangar that would kind of put us out of the running for putting larger hangars up to maximize the use of that space in the future, or present, because we have the demand now that we're turning away, to house these 650s.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even overnight one. There's not a hangar on this field that's big enough for
it. Yeah, I talked to a fellow that does a lot of staging. He has clients that have places in the islands and the main and everything, and he can't get a space here for overnight.
So we are working on it. Like I said, we sent the package out this morning back to NHDOT and the FAA. We'll see what they come back with.
Okay.
And like I said, we're going to request a follow-up meeting, too, because we thought we had this ironed out in that first meeting, and apparently...
And again, you would think that the New Hampshire DOT, the aeronautics group, would be tripping over themselves trying to make this happen, because that's what they're supposed to do. That's their job, is to develop airports and to promote aviation and to help airports survive and grow.
The only other thing I have to chat about, and it's not something that I put on here because I forgot. When we were plowing last week, we had a plowing incident for the first time that I know of, as long as I've been here. One of the guys hit an airplane while we were plowing.
Airplane, wow.
And it was an unfortunate accident. The guy was moving slowly. I saw it. Somebody was shoveling out in front of their plane. They put the pile out, went to move it. It was about 4 or 5 feet away from the plane, went to move it. He had an angle blade, and there was ice underneath the snow pile. As soon as he hit it, it shot the angle plow, and I don't know how it missed the spinner, but it missed the spinner, but it hit the propeller and hit the cowling on the other side. And so that's a mandatory teardown. So it's already been, the estimates been made, insurance company's been called. So the tear down, prop overhaul, possibly prop replacement, that'll be up to American Propeller, and cowling repairs, and I don't think I saw anything about the nose wheel, but that took a hit too. But unfortunate, but it happened, and that's what we're dealing with there.
Is the airport in insurance, or do we have insurance for that, or is
yes.
that
Yes, general liability.
Is there a deductible that will be eligible?
Is there a deductible, Susan?
Sorry, what was that?
You just said you won the lottery.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a deductible. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything back yet.
It usually is. I'm sure.
Well,
yeah.
What was your plan that was it?
Sure.
Usually. Usually when
property damage is usually a deductible.
Yeah, I have to look into our
policy. Otherwise, we'd be filing claims for $500.
Every claim we've ever tried to file for a fence, no, that's not covered.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's not covered. Oh, no, that's not covered.
Interesting which line it would actually fall under, since it was a piece of equipment. Kind of fleet, could be fleet coverage, could be auto liability.
The owner was standing right there when it happened. Yeah, he's bumming his brand new engine. They just put the engine in the plane.
Oh, no.
It has to be torn down and overhauled, but it's going back to the same people, Penyan, that overhauled it the first time. And he saw it happen. He goes, that was just a freak accident. Nothing he could have done about it.
I'm assuming you're having conversations with just any changes to protocols being a little further away or whatever it is.
We talked about it, but the reality is he was 4 to 5 feet away from the thing, and he was barely moving. I was in the grader the next alley down. I looked over, I saw the aircraft going, he waved to me, I waved to Mr. Bergeron, and then I you know, started doing what I was doing, I could see Joe start to move, and then all of a sudden I noticed it stopped, and all I could see was his hands going up in the air and pulling his hair out. Mm-hmm. I mean, he only moved a few feet, he had stopped right before the plane, because the owner was putting snow out front, and then he started moving, and it just, the ice caught him. You could see it in the ground, there's photos of it, you can see where the plow just popped, and it took like a half a second. Mm-hmm. So, and for a guy that's been plowing for 27 years, and he's been here, you know, as long as he has, and he's plowed at Portland and Keene.
So it wasn't inexperienced?
No, not at all. It was just an unfortunate accident. And, you know, like I told him, they call it an accident, it's an accident, not on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn, you know, he understood, and he said, if, you know, if you want me to call him, I'll talk to him. He goes, I'm not even, you know, can't be angry or nothing. That was just crazy. It was ice underneath, and you couldn't see it. But that happened, so.
All right.
Probably an increase in premium, but we'll see.
Okay, so that brings us to the airport engineer's report.
Okay. I have not been able to print out the update this month. As you guys probably noticed, there is really nothing to update on. We're still waiting for the same things that we're waiting on for all three projects. The pavement maintenance for the change order number two approval and we're close out.
And Nick, that was October we sent that up?
We said yes. The taxiway alpha project, I think we've covered that. And the golf ramp rehabilitation, we are nearing the completion of the 95% plan specifications. We'll get those committed to the airport and to the DOT and FAA for review. Following that, we'll go out to bid.
Okay, thank you. So, committee, we have no committees at the moment. Old business, $2,500 anonymous donation.
Anyone get their ideas?
So we discussed that last month and a few months ago.
Yeah.
We were asking the board to come up with ideas. Jessica came up with an idea of flying a banner towing plane.
Mm-hmm.
To advertise the airport, this anonymous donation, it was requested that we use this money to promote the airport. So did anybody come up with anything? Or?
I think you did think about signage and stuff a while back.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't really
have any.
I guess that goes to a bigger question that we're going to chat a little bit about tonight. Is,
yeah, I think it from tribute back.
Is it, you know, promote the airport. Do we want the people in town to know we're here, or do we want somebody that owns a Gulfstream to know we're here? And I guess that's kind of a bigger question.
Yeah, that's where I was curious later to hear the conversation about where the audience is for this.
Yeah, exactly. The question
is
the audience.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that's, I think, you know, in a way we have to do both. I think, you know, we have to be a good neighbor, and we have to promote what we have here. You know, starting with the idea that hopefully the aldermen know that we're here now, you know, the city of Nashua, and become part of their economic development plan at the city level, and you know, I think perhaps that might be a good idea for you know, promoting a certain event here. In other words, you know, the banner plane, if we've got the Confederate Air Force coming up, or if we got, you know, the New Hampshire Museum coming up, yeah, I mean, we can promote that stuff. You know, we've got no objection to that.
Such a great idea. If there is an event here, fly the banner.
Yeah,
right. For some reason,
right.
Yeah.
Give people an opportunity.
But to just fly it around to say, hey, we have an airport there.
No, I think other ideas that I thought of, you know, to go with Jeff's banner telling is learn to fly at Nashua.
Yeah.
We want to develop business here.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't thinking about a single day event because those are, you know, they benefit the museum, which is great, or CAF, but, you know, bring business to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, learn to fly here, base your aircraft here, and Base your G650 here.
Fly over Hanscom. Just take it.
Fly it down the runway at Hanscom.
How about we fly down the over Hanscom, get out of Westchester?
Yeah, literally.
It was like a low pad.
So the only social media I see is from someone I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes to do a social media campaign, and all of a sudden the numbers can spin up pretty quickly, but
maybe both.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, what I'm thinking is if we do this, you know, any whether it's social media, we whether, you know, learn to fly is good, you know, but tie it to something so that it's part of a it's part of an overall campaign versus just versus a banner flying overhead. Or make it part of a, you know, a social media campaign rather than just a banner. You know, I think it's a neat idea because it ties aviation, obviously, to something flying around. But have it, you know, if we're gonna, I don't know how much does it cost it. I mean, what is that $2,500 to give us on a banner total? An hour? What is it?
Yes, I provided an estimate in my email and I sent it off to Chris for support. If I recall correctly, for several hours, it was something on the order of like $1,700. So you could probably say, what does $2,500 buy us?
I'm just saying, maybe if we have a week, you know, a Nashville airport week, and have that, you know, go up several times during that week, not for a long period of time, but maybe an hour each day, you know, for 3 or 4 days kind of thing, and have that tied in with an additional. You know, touch, if you will.
I think it goes to that kind of bigger question, that strategy, if you will, of resources and efforts for, you know, sort of internal, the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
External in terms of just overall exposure, but external targeted towards corporate, all of those specific interests. And I think each one of those probably gets hit a different specific way. And we got to kind of figure out what the balance needs to be. It's always good to be a good neighbor. It's good to, you know, silly little things like a webcam or something you can go online, whatever, you know, things like that internally. But yeah, I think we just need to kind of focus on where we want to target these things and what kind of resources we want to apply to it. But I think it's all good stuff. It's just a matter of probably fine-tuning that.
Getting the most out of it.
Yeah, that strategic plan, if you will. Ooh, so many.
What would a Nashville Airport week look like?
I don't know. there'd be a banner flying around.
Okay.
So
yeah, a big share
pack. Party halls, chocolate candy, and
balloons. Wait, we have some ideas, Wes.
Well, I have a question. Getting to what you're talking about, which is marketing, which benefits the airport more, 100 new primary students or 3 more jets?
So the master plan, I was looking at that as part of all this, you know, talked about, you know, evaluating demand based on, you know, future aircraft forecasts, and it really talked about through this jet air, you know, our focus being on getting more jets here. So I was really curious when you just mentioned something about some guy that does stuff for the islands or whatever.
Yeah.
Where does he go to go?
Worcester.
No, but I mean in terms of, all right, I need to find an airport, you know, and find out what do they have. Is there a database out there? Database, or are there trade shows?
NBAA, there's international, you know, standards thing.
Are there like trade shows like the fly-in and things like that that, you know, people go to, and that's where they learn, you know, are those the kinds of places we should be?
Yeah,
and social media, you know.
Sure.
Like,
but to answer Wes's question, that's kind of like asking a nonprofit, do you want me to go out and get you, you know, 100 new donors at $1,000 a piece, or do you want me to give you one donor for $100,000?
Of course, the 50.
And the question is, what does it cost to find each one of those donors?
Well, that is a piece of it, but the other piece is the long term. I want the 100 students. But in the short term, I want 3 jets here. So the answer is yes to both.
Yeah, he provides a different thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a different
traffic.
50 student pilots could turn into 25 hangars being filled up later on.
Right.
They could be the new corporate pilots.
One's long term, one's
We've seen that here at
Nashville. And add to our traffic numbers.
Yep.
And grows the community.
Yep.
Right? You know, grows the airport community. Where if we get three jets, that doesn't... It could bring in money, but it doesn't grow the airport community.
We were all student pilots here, a large group of us, and now we have aircraft here. We own hangars.
Mm-hmm.
We contribute to the growth of the community.
Right.
So is the $2,500 appropriate for a short-term investment or a long-term investment?
Sure. I think at least if I were the donor, I would say I want to see something that I can identify.
Right.
I don't want it buried in some more.
Any.
Okay, that augurs for the banner, though.
Well,
right.
I would be a little cautious here because the donor gave us the money to decide as a board.
No, I understand.
They didn't provide any restrictions, at least.
No, nope.
Simply wanted to promote the airport.
Right.
Loves the airport. The
yeah.
person loves the airport. Wants to help promote it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be inappropriate for us to. Imply that they are wanting it to be spent a certain way. Otherwise,
no.
I
guess my point is that it would be nice. I guess I'm just thinking about the optics here. I think I'm not saying this is how we have to do it, but I would just think that if this person actually loves this airport and he chipped in this money, which is great, it would be kind of nice to be able to at some point say, you know what, remember we did that? That was you.
We've talked about for years swag, hats, shirts, things, you know.
Okay, you're in charge, Joe.
I think that would be great.
And we talked about that, too. Like, you know, do we buy a few hundred T-shirts? Do we give them away at our next event?
Yeah, I mean, swag's a great, you know, I mean...
Every
you
know,
well,
every
yeah,
you
free advertising.
Right. You get on a sunny going, get little things of suntan lotion that say Nashville Airport on. You see all that kind of stuff.
But
you make more shirts.
Yeah.
And hand them out. Then
you'll
get people who are hopefully wearing their shirt every now and then walking around the city.
I'm still waiting for
money. Giving away at these events, seeing that we had the donation. That was my idea.
For that kind of thing.
Yeah. But this time, you've been to the, what's the airport? Not Lakeland, but the one next to it. That people fly next, I flow into it.
Winterhaven?
Is it Winterhaven?
Plant City?
Where the seaplane base is, Jack Rounds?
No,
it's,
I forget which direction it is, but.
Zephyr?
GIF? G something? Anyway, that airport, you know, the first thing you see when you walk into the FBO is a whole bunch of, there's a bunch of shirts hanging up. You can buy them. You know, that kind of thing. But yeah. That might be a way to do it too, Joe.
Well,
I guess if you're looking for optics that would make the donor feel warm and fuzzy, the other thing you could do is create some kind of scholarship for some kid against some excellent criteria for a kid to national school.
Yeah. That does promote aviation. I'm not sure it promotes the airport, but I don't know. These are all great ideas.
I
mean,
they're
swag. Trying
to work on swag.
Hey.
We
get the shirts.
It lasts. You know, you put shirts on people, hats, whatever you do.
And if somebody
reaches
now, they can make all sorts of really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I've got a good contact for you if you want.
Yeah,
a couple people.
Yeah, the shirts would be great, and then we can tow the shirts behind the plane.
They could throw them out.
Throw them out of the plane.
They could violate them.
Oh, no, that was a jump bill.
Chris needs one of these T-shirt borders that they do with the rock
nuts.
Yeah.
Boom.
Say no to PFAS. I can teach them out.
So is this something that we need to vote on, or can we just set
shirts up PFAS?
Yeah.
We
could discuss it. Yeah. I don't think it's something that we have to vote on.
Well, I think it's the best discussion we've had on it so far. So
I'll look in this way. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll send you an email, Brian. We'll
great.
I don't know what lines of swag. I'm sending some of my ratio there. I'll be a swag hag. How about that?
Wag the swag.
Low drag swag for the airport.
Yeah, that's right. So that brings us to new business, OIA support lease extension. I was kind of confused with this note because of the date.
Yes.
May 12, 2012?
Yes, that is correct. This was done. This letter was sent in and nothing was done way back then. There was no...
It was approved, Susan, but it was never, like, was the paperwork never done?
I don't even think it was approved.
Okay.
So
they did their part, but whoever...
Yes, they did their part, but we dropped the ball.
And they didn't follow up either.
Did anyone look at the minutes?
I did, but I went through... Well, something else is over for the minutes. I can double check it and look at the minutes.
I'm just astonished.
But there's no, nothing on record, no addendum, filed, recorded with the Hillsborough County.
Where did that letter come from?
What's the name of it? Why am I drawing
this letter?
The letter.
Gil, where did this come from?
What?
Because of Mark or Gil. Or Ed Loopy.
Ed Loopy called because Jerry Campbell is the thing has recently passed. And they're getting everything in order and they have been transferred to his wife. And they're just looking for the clean.
The whole
record's going on.
Paper trail.
So if I could simplify this.
Yes.
Susan did a lot of research on this and came up with a way to fix all this. And it's in one of the documents that's in the package. You know, I'm having trouble seeing tonight. So.
Well, no, it's not.
You look smart.
They're aware of all the dates that are on that document.
Okay.
I haven't even gotten that far yet.
But there was a page in here that you showed me earlier today.
So
are they still under a lease?
No.
No.
Okay.
So.
But they've been paying us.
Yes.
Okay.
Not
and
a
they have no intentions of leaving or not. So their lease, their original lease, was from 1996, and it was effective the first day of October 1996 and terminated on the 30th day of 2016.
Okay.
So I'm going to assume that means the 30th day of September, because it starts October, but it's not in the lease.
Yeah.
And then in 2004 or 5, when Shirley sent out all of those letters to give someone an additional term, on this one it says that they still have the option to extend the lease for an additional 20 years from the first day of September 2036. Not September. That's in September or December. No.
October.
This one says December, but it should actually be September.
Mm.
So there's a lot of kind of grammatical miscommunication all throughout this whole...
Yeah, the spreadsheet you gave me a year ago, January, had their lease expiring October 30th of 2016.
On this one?
Yeah.
I have to look at my spreadsheet. But it's just, I think it did expire on September 30th of 2016, and they did ask for the extension that they were granted in their original lease, according to that letter, in 2012, but I can't find... Ed Loopy doesn't have any documents stating that it was ever recorded or any addendum was done. So I thought the best thing to do is to just vote on it,
Sure. Give
them the extension.
Clean it up.
And clean it up.
Right.
This addendum that I did to the lease basically states that you're voting unanimously for the extension for the term beginning on October 1 through 2016. And beginning on October 1, 2016, and terminating on September 30, 2036.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to what the proposal is to vote on something that gives them a retroactive.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
They're basically
which is important to do so because you don't want to lapse.
Right.
And
okay.
then to correct this other addendum, which says that it starts on December 1st, 2036. They won't be in a lease.
For 3 months, because it'll lapse.
There'll be a lapse.
Mm-hmm.
So on here, I just wrote, this lease may be extended for an additional term of 20 years, commencing October 1, 2036, subject
right.
to the negotiation of terms and conditions.
That's fine.
Okay.
I would move to next.
So that I just kind of try to clean that whole thing up in the addendum.
And that takes care of this one. And then that system that Susan you put in place, there's got to be another
set of that or part of that system to make sure that somebody's reviewing it, you know,
right.
on a periodic basis to make sure that, you know, it's one thing to have the data sitting in front of you,
mm-hmm.
like we do now.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to say, oh, wait a minute, how come this thing still says 16 on it?
Right. Well, there is one more leaf in there.
And so, but just, you know, a system in place, you know, that so that we don't, you know, when somebody's not talking about something like this, you know, 15 years from now.
Right.
What were those people thinking?
After we're done this one, I do want to talk about another one that I didn't do anything for this meeting, but we may need to do something for this meeting.
Okay.
But it's just some of the things.
Same thing.
So I don't know if you want to put forth a motion to.
Yeah, I'll move to accept. You know.
Do you have that written down?
Yeah, they
can.
Yeah, there you
I'll
go.
I'll just read it.
Go ahead.
No motion.
Okay, so I'll put forth a motion related to the OI Air Corp lease E-2138. To retroactively extend the term.
Ratify.
Beginning October 2016 for a 20-year period, expiring 30 September 2036 upon the same terms and conditions as the previous or then current lease. Furthermore, the lease may be extended for an additional term of 20 years commencing on 1 October 2036, subject to renegotiations of terms and conditions.
I'll second it.
Okay, is there any further discussion on, you know, the motion? Okay, all those in favor of the lease extension as read by Joe, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay, that was unanimous.
So that's staying in now.
So Susan did a fantastic job of figuring that one out because that was not easy.
Mm-hmm. There's another one in here as well.
And apologies to OIA for the...
I'm not sure. All right, so this one here, we received a letter from back here, and this one was for 125, 123, 125 associates. And this one here is dated on May 23rd, 2013, and it's just basically asking them to be, they would like to extend their option to, their, extend their lease.
Mm-hmm.
And this was done in of 13. And then the only thing that I have in here, and again, I talked to Mary Parker, this one I did go through the minutes already on, that's why I'm like, oh, I didn't do it on the other one. Is a letter from Seaborg stating that this letter is to notify you that we have received your letter dated May 23rd, notifying the National Airport Authority your option to exercise your lease for the additional 20 years. This lease is due to terminate on May 31, 2033, and your letter has been placed in our file. So, it's not really an addendum to the lease, it's just basically he's accepting their notice. So I can kind of recall back then that they were kind of wondering if he even had to come up to the board to be extended. So I'm not sure if this the board had decided that no, just send out the letter and it's all set. So,
well,
back in 2013. So this one here as well was not recorded.
Okay.
Is that another lease that's expired?
It expired, but Mr. C. Bork had sent them a letter saying that they were all set on their 20 years.
Yeah, well, I'm not about to start setting precedent about the airport manager. No, it's Crystal.
So this one could get cleaned up, too.
This
could
easily be cleaned up. This has to be consistent with every other lease on this airport.
So the other thing that I did look at, too, is I looked at the RSA to the leases. And, you know, they're basically saying that anything that is more than a 7-year lease.
Right.
Should be recorded.
Yes.
And it's due to people that want to sell the hangar and get a mortgage.
Exactly.
You know,
otherwise,
that
yeah.
You can go to the Hillsborough Registry of Deeds and be like, okay, yes, this is how long the extension is for.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question
so
that leases have to be recorded.
I'm
going to
put this into next month's meeting.
Okay, perfect.
I just want to go to
the thank you for the heads up on that.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, thank
you. Clean things up.
Yeah. And next new business item, marketing. We already talked a little bit about it.
I've asked, I've been flying my drone all over the place here during the construction to getting some what's referred to as B-roll footage, as well as individual images of the airport over the last couple of years. And I've had in my head this notion of putting together a video and using it to help promote the airport through the website or, you know, targeted specific places of that we would like to attract here, whether it's a flight school or whether it's a service center for jets, or it's a depot, you know, group of hangar, whatever. The point is that this thing I had in my head over the years has been that's the purpose of it, is to make people aware of the gem that we have here, and the potential and the current and the issues and the things that we can offer them, both from a state perspective with no income tax, no sales tax, which for a facility that actually works on airplanes is a huge benefit because of the sales tax effect. So in a flight school too, so I thought about doing this, and I thought, oh, I can do that. And I kept putting it off and trying to formulate my head and figure out a way to do it. And I've become pretty good at video editing and all that stuff. But I thought, at the end of the day, I thought, you know what? You know, just like I said earlier, you know, we're all doing good jobs at trying to figure out this whole PFAS thing and whatever else comes down our way. Let's just get an expert to figure to just do it. And that's kind of why I finally reached out to this outfit in Nashville. I've known the people there for many years. I knew them when they first started this business. They were very creative. They've become one of the premier go-to outfits they're doing a lot of commercials for companies. And you know, their stuff is good stuff. You know, I've seen a lot of their outfit. And I've worked with them over the years, and they're just good people to work with. So I asked, you know, Grant, the owner, one of the owners, to put together this little proposal he could do for us. And I think it's reasonable. I mean, based on the numbers he gave me, the thing that we have to do, though, and what I'm going to be soliciting from everybody is, you know, one of the things he talks about, and we're going to, by just the overview of it, is to have a bunch of people, that, you know, some of the stakeholders on the airport. You know, the ones that come to mind quickly, of course, is Chris, the you know, Greg Leeson, maybe Shane, a couple of chief pilots, you know, Chris Robinson, and just get them, you know, develop a bunch of questions, interview questions that we can ask them to talk about the airport and why are they here, why did they come here, and why are they still here? We want to have some sort of presentation of long term. You know, yeah, they did just come here for a quick, an overnight hangar. They're here because they enjoy the airport. So those kind of questions, those kind of interview questions that they can talk about, and then put it together in a way that, you know, it's a 1 minute, 2 minute thing, which is all the attention that the people have these days. Is to say, lay it out there. Why should you come here? From both a local airport perspective and a more global perspective, as to positioning in the geographically positioned where we are in the Northeast, business. It's inexpensive now to keep your aircraft here, to base your aircraft here. And it's inexpensive to live here, and it's a nice place to live. So you're, whoever you hire to, you know, whoever your flight crew is, or whoever, you know, the whole, you know, we could almost get GE to kind of, you know, help us write the questions. Why did they come here? Now, granted, it wasn't their decision to go somewhere. You know, they went away, but it's just those kind of things. And then a secondary benefit to this is working with the city more, so when they go out and do their economic sales job, the airport's right there in their presentations. So that's kind of the, you know, there's still a lot of details to work out,
But that's kind of what I'm thinking of this thing. So, Dave, I get the production aspect of it from reading the document. What do we do with the video then? Do you have any
ideas
to where we put it out?
Yeah, the first place it goes is on our website, just a general thing, and then we can. But also, I think we need to, you know, again, develop those targets. This is a targeted program. This isn't just something you hang out on the web and just hope until people find it. We want to send it to them with a package. You know, and, you know, whether it's electronic email routine communication or it's in the mail with a link in it. However we do it, we want to start pushing this thing out and target certain groups. There are people that can help us. You know, I'm sure Chris is one of them. They can help us identify those people. And the fellows at East Point. So those are that's the end game here. Is to not just let it not put on a website and say, okay, isn't this nice?
Right. We have to have a place to.
We got it.
What about that in concert with actually revamping the website?
Yeah.
The website's a little
yes,
old.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that too.
I
take something like that, you know, like the centerpiece flat film, like you go to the website, you see that, it's like the, you know, Y-Nash, whatever, you know,
right.
And then it's kind of there, we got your Chronicle story, we put that there, you get a promo thing a few years ago with a bunch of razzmatazz, you know, start building some media on there, you know.
So it's my low-budget free video.
I can look into
And have like a corporate section, have a community, like more of a more intuitive way to flow the website, you know, instead of like, oh, look, and Outlook calendar, oh, that's exciting.
those are the thoughts. These are exactly the kind of discussion that, you know, I want to invite too, because, you know, again, this thing's been flying around my head and, you know, it gets kind of dangerous in there. But I want to get something going.
IMC.
Yeah, right. a lot of granite clouds in there. So,
you know, one of the tenants on the airport here a couple of years ago, he actually wrote a letter to us. I think we have this letter on file. He was at another FBO. I believe it was down in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
And the pilots chat in the pilot lounges, and he was flying the G5. And one of the guys suddenly goes, "Why are you based at Nashua?" And after a little discussion, he stopped talking. He looked at the guy. He said, "Why aren't you based at Nashua?" And
Well, that's where it's like we need a marketing program.
Kind of
we need to know who to market to.
Exactly. You know, to put up in this video, I think discussions like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have your Motorex swag link up there.
But that's the interesting. You said cart horse question. You know, are we to the pilots, to the FBOs, or to the Rob Parsons? Who is the chicken and who's the egg?
Well, at this point, you know, because as I've been going through this process, I have thought about that. I'm like, okay, you know, right now, today, you know, we are selling from an empty cart. We have nothing to offer other than, you know, a tie down. So
a great community.
We do that, yes. Yeah. So they can park their plane in Worcester and drive up and hang out with us.
Yeah, and actually drive people to, like, yeah, I've always thought about flying. How much? It must be $1 million to go around.
Yeah.
But actually drive the resources where you can.
Yeah.
Well, and I know we've talked about it a little bit, but, and it's an interesting cart horse question too, but the building we're sitting in, and what is its future?
That's all part of this discussion. That's another thing I've mentioned in the past, where we're now coming up on 2 years. Something's gonna happen in 2 years, or hope maybe more. Should we be pushing something to come here sooner? I mean, I know that Southern New Hampshire University is their problem. I don't know why they're not pushing it somewhere, but. You know, we got this another wonderful asset, and what are we doing with it?
What?
Going back a minute in your stream of consciousness, you know, you're talking about who gets to make those decisions, and pilots don't get to make the decision where they base their airplane. go to the plane.
But in the meantime, the chief pilot was the one that says, we want to be here. In the meantime, when that flight operation was up and running, that chief pilot pretty much had carte blanche decision as to where to base the equipment. And then the only reason they went away was because corporate said, we're going to get rid of everything. We're not going to go anywhere. It's not like they're going somewhere else besides us. They're just not going anywhere.
But then there's rebound.
Yes.
And the captain's told them you can't park your airplane at Portsmouth.
You can't, but that's old news, Wes,
right,
because that was at a time when it financially did not make sense for Green Mountain to base their
airport. That's exactly right. But my point is who got to make the decision about the finances of the airplane went?
But,
and it wasn't the chief pilot.
But here's the, that's right. That's the finances piece. Just like the flight school here decided not to, it wasn't they didn't come here, they decided not to be here because and the guy that made that decision was the CFO.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't anything to do with aviation.
And my point is, your video needs to go to the CFO.
I think the video has to be made available. I think it's not our job to sell, let me back up for a second. I feel that the financial aspects of being here, other than the cost of living for the crew, and perhaps the lower cost of doing business in New Hampshire versus Westchester or some of that metropolitan area, Santa Cruz, California, whatever. Other than that more macroeconomic approach, we no longer have a financial disadvantage. So the finance piece of this is about third or fourth on the list, in my opinion. But I think that this marketing has to go to the chief pilot or the flight group, that group, and then if that financial piece comes up, then we can, because if we try and market to a CFO, that's never going to happen. I believe I've hung out with enough of them.
They can't make the decision.
So
Dave, I agree with you almost 100% on that, because I talk to a lot of people in this industry, obviously, and a lot of these decisions are made by the flight departments.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some examples right on the field here.
Mm-hmm.
People that live in Bedford, Massachusetts, if their corporate jets are based here, they didn't care where it was based. Where do you guys want to base the aircraft? We want to base it at Nashua.
Mm-hmm.
ANF-1,
mm-hmm.
Hangar 0, we won't put any names out,
mm-hmm.
but
sure.
They don't live near here. Matter of fact, they get picked up at Hanscom.
Mm-hmm.
They'll fly these Gulf Streams from Nashua to Hanscom to pick up the principals to go.
Yep. Even though with the start and stop of the fuel and all that stuff, it's a little easier to be here.
One of our recent discussions that we had with a potential developer who's very networked with camp systems into the corporate aviation industry, one of his statements is, they're globe-trotting aircraft that can be based anywhere. And so if you make it attractive to them, they want a place that's reasonable, that has all the approaches. We have a great airport. We don't have nothing to offer here. We have a 6,000-foot runway
mm-hmm.
that can accommodate any corporate jets. We have all the approaches, the INS, the ILS, GPS.
But I will tell you, from my discussions with some pretty key players, is the first thing we have to do here before anything happens is we have to get de-icing. Customs is not a big problem. De-icing is like almost number one on everybody's list. There have been situations, and I know that ANF1 is one of them, if they know they're going someplace tomorrow on a cold day, they'll fuel up the night before and then put the plane in a nice warm hangar.
Well, they reposition is what they do.
Or they reposition.
Right,
one of the
that's
two.
What we don't
they,
want.
But either avoid de-icing by doing what I was talking about, or they put it somewhere else where they have de-icing before their trip. So that's the thing that most places, that's the one doubt, the one negative of this airport that we don't have yet. So I think, in the engineering approach, Nick, you can probably help with it. I know we've talked about it. We've done
some CIP,
so, right. So we need to maybe elevate that a little bit to say, okay, not necessarily do anything about it just yet, but find out, okay, what's involved? What permits do we need? How much does all this cost to put de-icing in here? And whether the developer does it,
or whether we do it. We need to have that package, that piece, ready to go.
So we had this discussion yesterday, actually, and we know that it's, you know, it's the hot topic
mm-hmm.
for corporate jets to come here. It was almost next in line on our CIP.
Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be a two-project 2022 until the Taxiway Alpha project, you know, received
mm-hmm.
the grant, and that got pushed in this year along with golf grant. So the edge equipment ended up flagging out
sure.
Indefinitely, really, because it doesn't really have a year.
Right.
But as long as you're not discharging, I think, more than 500 gallons a year, there's no permit required, there's no collection.
See, that piece...
It's a greater number than that, actually.
Well, but yeah. Okay, that doesn't... You know, that's good to have, but what does that mean? To me, that doesn't mean anything, because I don't... How many gallons does it take to de-ice an airplane? I mean, does it take 100 gallons? That means we only do it five times? Or what is it, you know? So with that one piece of information of whatever that cap is, mm-hmm. You know, this is a good start, but we need to... Yeah,
so
okay.
We wouldn't come near that number is what we did. We did
okay.
the research on it.
Okay.
And so that was one of the reasons we started going after it.
Okay, good.
But again, like Nick said, it got kicked down the road in terms of priority rankings
right.
with the FAA.
And
so one of the things we discussed yesterday was now we have potential developers coming here. And if somebody's going to develop, let's say, four large corporate hangars there, I would imagine that we can work with these people for them to provide the de-icing service. Because another part of the problem here, well, part of the problem is if we, the airport, receive all this funding to get the de-icing, per the FAA, we have to be the ones that control the de-icing.
Mm-hmm.
Do all the de-icing, and let's face it, I have a staff of three,
yep.
and during snowstorms,
yeah.
we can't be de-icing.
No. No,
we technically, you can't even subcontract it out to infinity.
Right.
So it would be more advantageous for the airport to have one of these new developers
mm-hmm.
Run the de-icing, specifically infinity.
Yeah, and I have no doubt that that's probably the best way to go. But all I'm getting at is whether we do it, which is probably a great thing to do, or whether they do it, the cost has to be known. And so that way, it's a place that we can talk about. Because if we end up doing it, then we're going to say, okay, in our lease, our land lease to them, we're going to also do this, and we have to hire people, and we're not going to pay for it. They are. So whoever is responsible for it is the operation of it is to me is secondary to what it costs, no matter who does it. So that's all.
There's a lot to it, and I just want to let you know
sure.
we are working.
I knew
that's
I knew
why
that.
It's you know it was pushed to the front of the CIP.
Sure, and that's why yeah.
By Nick and I last year.
I knew that we happened. That
so
we
Grant
had.
Morris is great,
yeah.
but it does beg the question whether we really need. Pearl Marketing or somebody or Millennium Agency or something to
yep.
do a marketing plan.
Well,
but as in relate, you know, in connection with the master plan and
mm-hmm.
Right.
So are we? Is this some informational at this point? Right
yes,
now,
information.
Okay.
We don't have to make a decision about it tonight, but I would like to have some sort of go no go at the next meeting, or you know, the money's in this year's budget. So I don't care. If we spend it on June 30th.
Well, what's it, like $5,000 in the budget?
No, 10. But that's also, but we, okay. I can personally say that it's probably more like 30 because we've had 10,000 in the budget each year and we haven't spent a dime of it. So we have problems, you know, so this is under that.
I mean, I'm glad you did this. I think it's great.
The
conversation going.
Yeah.
We need a real marketing plan.
And the website it can be in there, and all part of that deal too. So I know that you know GoDaddy or some other outfits can do it for about $2,000.
But I'm really. It's a really interesting question, though. Rob Parsons, where would he go to find to how would he market to corporate?
Right. Yeah. Well.
He's looking at buying aircraft too,
mm-hmm.
three aircraft, including a helicopter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, I everybody's gonna have to market. You know, the tenants that come here are, we're not trying to, you know, do something that, you know, Infinity should do or Mac Air should do or even whoever else the person is that comes in and builds this stuff.
Well, this is what PR.
This is PR for the airport.
To support the airport.
Right. And, yeah.
Well, I think we need to somehow commit to some degree of action. We've talked about it for many years.
Right.
I think it's great, but we need to start tilling the soil. So however we want to, it's kind of like we want a committee, but we all want to have input. We can't have a committee. That's kind of weird, but.
No, I think this is the committee. I'm not interested. I've been, again, thinking about it. I've made a bunch of calls recently, and I've got some, what I feel are pretty solid contacts, not for doing the stuff they're actually developing, but where to, you know, how to do this. What are the hot buttons? What are the places? What are the things that people, you know, flight departments or anybody else looks at? Where do they want to fly?
Well, I'd much rather spend money on this versus the next PFA study.
Boring.
Is there something that we need to commit to at this meeting before?
Well, not necessarily. We meet 12 times a year, and the years just fly by, as we all know.
Well, what I was thinking, Joe, is if everybody could just kind of, I don't know about you, but my head hurts right now from everything we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And so just process it. Just, you know, let it sit for a little bit. Come up with some other ideas or just start throwing some emails around. And then I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to pursue something, you know, maybe even talk to Grant about it but I want to have some conversations with Chris Robinson and Greg and everything too about, I know Chris, you've talked to them but just to get some ideas from them too, to ratify what you've been talking about, but also ask them what questions should we ask if you, what questions do you want us to ask you, you know?
I think we can permanently be on there. I just got to jot down, some key components. Website, swag.
Yeah.
Yep.
Videos, media, you kind of got that. I'm kind of grabbing the swag a little bit.
Yep.
I think the website needs to be a priority.
Yes.
We got to drive people to something that doesn't look like something in the public library. No offense recording. It's got to have something to it.
I think we should do something about learn to fly.
Yeah,
I think they need more.
I like that.
Sure, because I feel like a lot of people wearing them around.
Yeah.
You kind of have the
high school's a good idea too.
Yeah, sure.
There's companies out there that take the sectionals of anywhere in the world you want, and they can make clothing items out of everything.
What do you know about CPAC?
Cash,
right,
like that.
And I've tried to draw these things up, and I can't do it. I don't have any talent whatsoever.
Stick figure.
I don't know. I didn't know he did that.
I think there's a lot of, you start getting into a lot of detail, but I think we just need to start getting some traction so we're not,
All right, so how about this? How about then for the next meeting we have somebody, whoever it is, Susan, Joe, Jess, whoever, come up with some designs. And just throw them out there for the next meeting.
Sure, since I'm always the one never really doing much, I'll put it out there.
And I'll come back with some probably affirming a lot of what Chris has talked about, but also just come back with some more information about who, what, where, when, kind of stuff.
And Nick and I will continue
to work on
getting the engineering and getting the taxiway relocated.
Yeah.
The easy stuff.
But if you guys can develop some sort of price tag on the DIC, again, no matter who does it.
We've done everything from a camper with a garden hose.
Essentially
something you'd see at Manchester.
Yeah.
You're looking at about half a million.
Yeah.
Which is what we programmed into the CIP, because you can't charge show up somebody's Gulfstream with a trailer with a broken down Comanche Jeep, or whatever, Commando Jeep.
Yeah. E7 Silverado with a
Silverado.
The automatic
compressor. Somebody gets out with a stepladder. Oh, we can't get on top of your tail. So the fact of the matter is, with a large aircraft, you need a serious machine like the one that we inspect out.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to make one comment, sorry,
sure.
One tiny go back on the marketing, so I know there's a lot of good ideas, but I don't think that us as a group is necessarily the best to be able to really charge for it and be very effective. It may be worthwhile considering subcontracting out some marketing to somebody who actually does it for a living.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. All the words, all the things, and, let Chris... worry about moving the taxiway, let the board worry about some of the other things. And it's not that the ideas aren't good, it's just that there are literally professionals that do this, and there may be enough money in the budget to have them help take care of it, because going through the process of figuring out the social media and doing that...
We're not going to do that.
It's a lot of effort, so it might make more sense to have somebody contracted to do that.
I'm in agreement. That's what I was saying. Millennium or Pearl Marketing here in Nashua.
I want to find somebody to drive that. Those are people that can actually do it. But what I want somebody to do is drive it in terms of having the aviation eye on it. Not because those two outfits, Millennium and Pearl, are great. But they're great if you want to promote an accounting firm or a trucking company or more something a little bit more generic, but this is weird stuff.
Well, we can serve as an advisory role,
Exactly.
I mean, a lot of us have this idiotic experience and other experiences as well. But I'm just thinking that there are marketing specific things and advertising things, and there's connections there, and it just makes sense to have a professional. Maybe even make some recommendations, some a la carte thing that says, hey, here are other things that you could do to market your airport, and maybe we kind of pick what's targeted. But, I kind of feel like we're just throwing things out there, and we're not really doing them. So, and it's clear that we haven't been doing them for years, and it, given that we have money, I'm fully supportive of actually taking a stand, hiring a professional, and starting to figure out a path forward and spending the money in there.
There are two things I won't do: sheetrock and social media marketing.
You mean if I need a piano move, I can call you?
I'll still have
a room.
I'll miss next few meetings.
Nick, who does Scale use? Is it in-house?
We have in-house marketing.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we borrow?
Scale has the ability to reach out nationwide.
Right.
40?
Yeah.
$2,500,
Nick. I'm just going to do anything.
I
know.
I'm
just going to wonder the same thing.
Who does that? You know, there are other airports the size of Nashua that do this kind
who
of
does
but do they do marketing at all?
Who does the EAA stuff? Up in Oshkosh, obviously we're going to the other extreme, but
they got bigger budgets.
They do in-house stuff. They don't do outhouses.
Speaking for myself, you don't want an engineer to do your marketing.
Sushi,
cold, dead fish.
We have airplanes.
Actually,
in one way.
Come
see us.
Parasitic fish.
Not eating it. Okay.
All right. Is that all for the marketing discussion?
Yeah, that's enough for now.
Okay. So, upcoming events. Chris covered that in his report.
Yeah.
That brings us to public input as we draw to a close here.
Yeah, I'll say thanks for all the good plowing, except for maybe that one thing that doesn't impact me. I watched Chris unload parts to repair Building 109, and I'm hopeful that the actual work will start soon, and that will close it. The last chapter, I think, on the repaving. That's pretty much it.
Okay, anybody else?
Well, while we have Hector here,
Hector represents Rotor Technology on Hangar 9. How's everything going for you guys? Good?
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, echo the clarifying is great. You know, very big difference between the ramp side of the building and the street side of the building.
I thought you were just here because you were having trouble sleeping.
I don't know if you guys know, we recently leased one of the door buildings off of GWC.
Oh, okay.
We have, it's actually Tamposi Hall. It has on say Tamposi.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the founders.
Yeah. Lots of empty rooms, if any of you guys want to stay over.
I might need them.
A little beer pong every Saturday night.
Oh, I could really live near the air.
Oh, it's a dream, isn't it, Chris?
It is not a dream.
You could relive that college dorm
experience. It totally is. I remember the one. It was a living room.
That's cool. Oh, congrats. Is that an expansion then? Or is it more of a relocation to something a little bit?
It's a pretty major expansion. It's got 45 rooms. We were at one point all staying at a house. Farmington Road, so like South Asher.
Yeah.
This is obviously way better because we hit capacity. We've got a team of 9 to 10 now.
Okay, cool.
Some like part time, and I think hoping to hire 4 or 5 more in the next month or two. We're also doing some hangar improvements. I think we've got some work like new LEDs, some like cable runs and things happening in March. Also, I'm talking about this building as an issue. I think Greg has talked to them. It's come out a bit early for us. But basically, I think for us, like, the key milestone is in like a year and a half, we would try to raise another big round of funding. If we managed to do that, like, we would expand. I think the one thing that we're 50-50 on is whether to take the GE hangar when it comes up. Because our ops are starting to, like, you know, it's getting starting to get tight in the hangar because we now have 2 helicopters that are semi-airworthy and 1 that is, you know, reverse engineering. And then we're also buying some vehicles and so we want them out in the salt and the I think it's TBD. I think we're trying to decide by May or June whether we'll take over GE. Because I think, as far as I know...
How tall are they and how big a bay do you need?
Not tall. We don't need very much. We don't need very high space. But I quite like the open plan stuff, right? So,
so they're not taller than a tractor trailer?
No. Right. So it's tight. So we have issues in that we need to find very low trailers because otherwise they're going to hit bridges. I think it's like 13.6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 14.9. 13.6. Like we're tight. With an R-44, which we might buy one maybe late this year, we would be pretty tight. With an R-22, which is, I think, about a foot shorter, we're fine.
Obviously, this space here and the hangar space are very different. You can't put a helicopter in here.
No. So the GE space would be the first thing that we might think about. But obviously, you know, if we do end up at 25, 30, 40 employees, like, you need meeting rooms, you need training rooms, you need whatever, and this is obviously perfect. But GWC also has a ton of that sort of space, so it doesn't really need to be literally on airport below the tower.
Mm-hmm.
There are some restrictions here, depending on what student decides to support, in terms of academics and check with students, but there are some restrictions on
that. ADA
right
now.
Right.
But if ADA is...
I don't want to over-product or, you know, I think, you know, as with any startup, like, things are pretty uncertain. You know, we have visibility for a year and a half, but not much more than that. In the nearer term, though, so, you know, we've been, like, running engines on the ramp, I think, like, we haven't had any problems with that. We do want to probably start, like, some stuff in the old pipeline area within the next couple of weeks. We've talked about it before, but I'll probably get you in, Chris, and brief you on exactly what we're doing so everyone's comfortable and probably like next week I'll email you in the range time.
Okay, that's great news. Congrats.
Yeah. So overall, everything's working for you at Nashua.
Yeah, and we're really happy. You know, so if you want to use it, I mean, we don't do any like PR stuff, but if it helps, you know, whatever marketing that you guys do, like, so I always get pulled out as like, you know, special for work, like close to Charles, so like Bristol, which I'm somewhat like Bristol, New Hampshire, where I'm kind of somewhat involved. Like, you know, I think people like to hear about startups and innovation and stuff. It doesn't sound like that's what the airport like is that important to the airport to attract, I guess.
I think we would definitely want to attract more.
It's all part of the family.
I guess. But I mean, it sounds like students and, you know, I don't know, like jet space here, the bread and butter.
Not necessarily. I think there's a wide range of opinions on exactly
am I right to say Elbit was or is here?
Elbit is here.
Elbit's here, yeah.
And kind of,
okay. Jets generate fuel flow. So the folks at Infinity can tell you that if you can bring in a big jet, it's $5,000 a year to the airport. On a flow sheet. And plus, you know, maybe they build a hangar with it. And as has been said before, that's kind of a nice short-term hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the flight schools are kind of more of a long-term thing.
Yeah, we would love a flight school in this building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool, because there's kind of a whole bunch of, like, there's not one very big flight school.
There's
several
small ones.
Instructors.
And the history has been that when Daniel Webster was here, a lot of those folks came, got their degrees here, started careers in aviation, but sort of stayed in the area and kept feeding the local economy.
Well, I mean, we're very happy here. Always happy to spread the good word.
Well, thank you, Hector.
Thank you. Is Hector working still over there too? They are. So we share their cage room. So, I also want to say, I don't know if there's a major message you guys are saying, but every Thursday night we have guests over for dinner. Just as, now that we need to go out for dinner, but now we have the cage room, so we eat at the hangar room lunchroom. So it's an open invitation. I'll also send out a more specific invitation because I know people don't turn up when you send an open invitation. But you're obviously very welcome to come.
Well, I guess what's the signal on the hangar that the dinner served?
Oh yeah, I guess. Well,
got an
aromatic. Well, I know it's a bit late for people like Chris because you guys go home early.
Who does?
Yeah.
You guys are in bed when I leave. Okay, thank you, Hector.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
So, director comments. I'll start with Jeff.
No comments.
Good discussion.
Thank you.
Good luck with
your new adventure here, Charlie.
Thank you. Yeah, so I guess I'll just comment that I will be officially going to Colorado in something like 20-something hours. So I scrambled a little bit here at the end, but I will be reachable, of course, phone, email, texting, whatever. I'll be joining in the meetings remotely and hopefully as much in person as possible. So just so you know, I will probably not be at the next one in person, but certainly will be on the phone.
Excellent.
Yes, and thank you, everybody. I'm glad that you're all allowing me to serve in this a little bit non-traditional role. And
sure.
I'm happy to stay involved with the airport. And
good.
I very much appreciate being on this board.
Good.
So
just
oh yes, I do. Yes,
just don't call us at 7 o'clock in the morning your time.
That's right.
Or actually, help you with the COVID engine. Night your time.
If you need help with the COVID engine, just let us know.
Yeah.
So
running good.
Well, Jessica, thank you for being willing to continue to serve on the board. And you go out to Colorado and start your new adventure. You're valuable. So I really appreciate you wanted to stay on the board and continue to participate in these meetings and staying involved in the airport.
Yeah. I'll be back.
Okay.
You thought you were getting rid of that, so I'm coming back.
And, you know, I wanted to comment on the following. I think, you know, modulo, the one accident there, you know, it's like I think it's been pretty good. You know, I showed up at the airport, you know, it's like, I think sometimes after the last snowfall, I came over to see what I needed to do, and it's like, hey, it's like I'm good. You know, like I know. You know, you seem to wing it pretty close to the doors without nicking them, and makes life easy for the owners.
Plus, Chris, keep that up.
Yeah.
Slow going on those. Thank you.
And, you know, David, you know, thank you for taking the initiative and putting this together. Appreciate that effort.
Sure.
And, you know, hopefully we can start, you know, doing some real marketing. You know, with real marketing people as opposed to...
Yes, as opposed to me.
So, that's all I got. So, over to you.
Oh, I've said plenty tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good. So thank you, Jess, for your input and your continued input from out in the mountains.
Sure. So I'll throw it over to Brian.
Yeah, well, I wish you all the best and glad you're staying on.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Okay, with that, I'll accept a motion to adjourn. Pursuant to RSA 91A3, paragraph 2A, dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee.
You're going into executive session?
Yeah. Tuesday executive session?
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to take a bio break for a second.
Okay.
So move.
Richard, use the second.
Second. Any discussion?
No.
Okay, we are adjourned.
All right. Bye.